That's one definition that kind of put it together in a way that was simple to explain, yet it still didn't fully capture all of what NLP is for me. Because it's a little less wordy, yet it's an easier way to explain it. Here's what captures what NLP is for me. These are all just definitions. We're throwing some definitions out there of what it is that we're studying. For me, NLP is the psychology of achievement. The psychology of achievement and of interpersonal communication. The psychology of achievement and interpersonal communication. That's my personal definition of NLP. Because, once again, remember, any result that an expert's produced, we can replicate through the attitude and the methodology. The attitude of curiosity and the methodology of role modeling. So for me, it's really the psychology of achievement. Whatever that achievement is that we want to accomplish in life, and of interpersonal communication. So that's, to me, what NLP really is. Now, what I'd like to do is take a look for a moment. Oops. I'd like to take a look at a moment for a moment at what's behind NLP. And this will be familiar to you because some of you have studied. Everybody in this training has either attended an NLP practitioner training or listened to our training series, our audio series. And we're making that assumption as we're moving forward for those of you that are listening on audio, that you're familiar with NLP in some way, shape, or form. So let's take a look at what NLP really is, or what's behind NLP. So perception being projection. One of the things that we say in NLP is that perception is projection, which means essentially, and Jung was a big fan of this, is that means essentially that you can't see anything outside of you that isn't you. You couldn't possibly attend to anything outside of you that isn't you. In fact, James Gleick wrote in the book Chaos that the human nervous system is designed to impose order on chaos, on a seemingly orderlessness universe. So your nervous system, you couldn't possibly attend to something outside of you that isn't you. And this is why Richard Bandler called NLP the study of subjective experience. Because your experience of the world is based upon what's happening inside of you. It's based upon who you are, really. Your personality will determine what you sort for in life and therefore what you see in your world, what appears in your world. So let's take a look at our man here. And we're looking at our slides, but this also appears in the manual. So this is the NLP model of communication. Now, what's not immediately obvious is that all of NLP appears right here inside this person's head. Okay, everything that is NLP appears right here. So what this model says is that there's some external event. We take in approximately 2 million bits of information via the 5 seconds. We take in approximately 2 million bits of information per second via the 5 senses. Now, this is according to Hungarian biologist Mihai Csikszentmihalyi, who wrote the book Flow, The Psychology of Optimal Experience. So we're taking in every second where the human nervous system is being bombarded by 2 million bits of information. That's a whole lot of information. Now, your nervous system couldn't possibly attend to all that information, so what it does is it makes it manageable for you. And you create an internal map of what's happening outside of you. This is called your internal representation. Okay, your internal representation is made up of certain things, and we'll talk about those in a moment. But the process of taking an external event, that 2 million bits of information that's pouring in per second via the 5 senses, the process of taking that and then making it manageable for yourself and making what we call an internal representation of that event or an internal map of that event. That's your understanding of reality or your thoughts of reality. The process of doing that is based upon three things. It's based upon three things. And these are the processes of, some of you know what this is, what are they? Deletion, yeah. So we're constantly deleting things. So deletion, what's the second one? Distortion. And generalization. So the processes of deletion, distortion, and generalization are those processes which kind of weed out everything that's out there, all the potential information that's pouring in per second. Get this, 2 million bits per second coming in, and the processes of deletion, distortion, and generalization are those things which determine that which you see. Now the question becomes, what causes deletion, distortion, and generalization? The answer is the filters inside of you. And we'll go over each of these filters, but they're the filters of time, space, matter, and energy, your experience of time, space, matter, and energy, your language, your memories, your decisions, your meta-programs, your values and beliefs, and your attitudes. Now, there's some other things that play into the mix there as well, but those are the things, those are the filters inside of your head that determine what you delete, what you distort, and what you generalize, and therefore what your ending thoughts of reality become. Okay, it's kind of like the World Wide Web. On the World Wide Web, there's a whole tremendous amount of information on the World Wide Web. But if you punch in a certain word on your search engine, such as the word poverty or the word wealth, you're going to pull up, you're going to delete everything else that doesn't have to do with the topic that you pull up, and you're only going to pull up that which you look for. The human nervous system works the same way. That's how it's possible for two different people to live in the world and have entirely different experiences of life. Whether they be experiences of wealth or poverty or experiences of health and vitality, whether it be experiences of great relationships or lousy relationships, all of these things are going to be determined by what an individual is deleting, distorting, and generalizing. And your personality determines what you delete, what you distort, and what you generalize. So let's talk about each of these processes and break them down a little bit more. First off, the process of deletion. The process of deletion is not seeing things that are there or not becoming aware of in some way, sense, or form things that are there. Okay, this is the person, for example, that lives their life in poverty and doesn't see the wealth and abundance of the world or doesn't see the money in their pocket or doesn't experience that. Okay, that all of that is out there for us to experience, yet some people don't. And the question is why? Well, the fact is that they're deleting it based upon their filtration systems. It exists out there. Great wealth exists out there as well as poverty. But what comes into your world, and we'll get into this a little bit deeper when we get into quantum physics, what appears in your world is going to be based upon what you're deleting at any given moment. Yeah, at any given moment. So deleting is simply leaving things out that are there. The process of distortion is misrepresenting things based upon a personal bias is one way that you could look at it, or an existing bias. One example of distortion would be like the story of the person who sees the stick on the road and thinks it's a snake. Yeah, that's the person that's distorting that information. It's really a stick, but they see the snake. By the way, based upon our distortions in life, whether it was really a stick or whether it was a snake, our reactions would tend to be the same if we thought it was a snake, wouldn't they? So our distortions will actually determine the behaviors that we take, whether or not our distortions are real. So people are constantly distorting things. Now these processes, while they can hinder us, they can also be very helpful to us, right? Because if we couldn't delete things, we'd be constantly paying attention to things that weren't important in our world, which would overload our senses. We can only be aware of 7 ± 2. We can only manage 7 ± 2 chunks of information simultaneously. Once we get beyond our 7 ± 2, there's too much going on. By the way, that's the structure of overwhelm as well. So your unconscious mind, to prevent you from becoming overwhelmed, it chunks down and it deletes those things you don't need to deal with at any given moment. Right? So the process of deletion is important. The process of distortion is important. It's important to be able to distort. If we couldn't distort things, then let's say you had a friend, and the friend showed up and changed their hairstyle and changed their clothing, then you might have to, let's say they turn their face to the side, they turn their profile to you, you might forget that they were your friend unless you had the ability to distort. So distortion is extremely important. And also generalization. Generalization is the third process that we do. The process of generalization is taking one example and taking that to mean many things. For example, our ability to generalize. First, let me give you an example of how it's important that we're able to do that, and then I'll give you examples of how that can also be a challenge or a hindrance to us. So let's say that somebody